Welcome to Goddardji. I'm your host, Nani Sellis. If you've been listening to the shows, you know that this is a show about God and about you and about your relationship with God. Goddardji is a path back to yourself, a path back to who you really are, a path back to the God inside of you. So many of us have been brought up to think of God as something outside of us or separate or something that we have to be worthy or somehow make ourselves worthy of relating to or having any kind of relationship with. But this is not true. There is a God that is available to you all the time, and you are already worthy of connecting and communicating with this God. This God does not judge you. This God does not think that you have sinned or done wrong in any way. And in fact, this God sees you as perfect and powerful and innocent. Imagine that God sees you as innocent. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, God sees you as innocent. Just last week, in a very deep meditation, God showed me the true meaning of innocence. And we will do a show about this at some time in the future. But for now, tempt your appetite of this conversation. I'd like to share with you that what I saw was not only myself as innocent, but I saw every being on this planet as innocent. Every being who has ever lived, and every being who lives now, and every being who will ever live. That we are all quite innocent, exploring creativity, exploring ourselves, finding out what it means to be the God self in physical form, and being able to create. Yes, that's what we're here to do. We're here to create, and in every single one of us is the creative spirit. And through this creative spirit, we find fulfillment. We are not meant to be lifeless and empty. We are not meant to be without path or purpose. We are here to fulfill ourselves, to fulfill evolution, to fulfill each other. And tonight, we're going to talk about this in great, great detail with my good friend, Cal Spencer, who we'll bring on in just a few minutes. And I'm really excited about this conversation because when we understand that being creative and fulfilling that creative spirit is a way and a path back to God or remembering God or awakening God within us, however you want to phrase it, then suddenly life changes. And wherever we are, suddenly there's purpose and there's power. There's you. So before we begin the show, I have pulled an Osho card. And for those of you who have not listened to the show before, an Osho card is from this Osho Tarot deck. I love it. Osho is one of my favorite spiritual philosophers of all time. Many people haven't heard of him, which is very surprising, because he is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for having written the most books ever. And that's over 600 books. And he's awesome. If you want to check him out, go on Amazon. Whatever book you order is absolutely amazing. My favorite is his autobiography. And it's the autobiography of an incorrect mystic. And it is like no other autobiography or spiritual book you will ever read. So if you happen to pick it up, let me know what you think. I'd love to talk to you about it. And maybe we'll even do a show on that one night. And if you'd like to be a part of it, just email me and let me know. So the card that I have pulled tonight is the traveling card, and this is what the traveling card says. Life is a continuity, always and always. There is no final destination it is going towards. Just the pilgrimage, just the journey in itself is life. Not reaching to some point, no goal, just dancing and being in pilgrimage, moving joyously without bothering about any destination. What will you do by getting to a destination? Nobody has asked this. Nobody has asked what will you do by getting to a destination. Because everybody is trying to have some destination in life. But the implications, if you really reach the destination of life, then what? Then you will look very, very embarrassed. Nowhere to go. You will have reached the final destination, and in the journey, you have lost everything. At the destination, there is no more. You have to lose everything, though. So standing naked at the final destination, you will look all around like an idiot. What was the point? You were hurrying so hard, and you were worrying so hard, and this is the outcome? Wow. I believe that this card is quite fascinating, the traveling card. in combination with our subject tonight, which is the creative spirit and fulfillment in each of us. So I'm really excited to see how these two will play in together. But before we begin, let us do a short meditation. So if you're in a safe place, please close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I invite you to follow your breath. The in-breath and the out-breath and the in-breath. Yes, that's right. And begin to notice that there is, in fact, a space between the in-breath and the ex-breath. And there is a space between the ex-breath and the in-breath. And as you breathe deeply, you might notice that that space gets bigger and bigger, longer and longer. And in that space, there's great peace and comfort. There is great fulfillment. That in that space lies possibility for creation. And you may begin to notice that when you fill that space with breath, there is creation. And when you let go of that breath, there goes creation. That the breath in itself is creation. That the breath in itself is fulfillment. And so, as you inhale, allow the breath to completely fill you up. Yes. And when you release the breath, release all of the breath so that you're completely empty and that there is an even bigger space to fill up. And again, as you breathe in, fill up every space in your body. Imagine that you can breathe all the way down your torso into your legs, down into your feet, to the top of your head. That every space in your body can be filled with breath. That you could be fulfilled by breath. And then when you're ready, release that breath so that you create a beautiful, beautiful, empty space inside your body, inside your head, beside you. And this time, when you're ready to inhale, I want you to imagine something in your life that you really want to do, that you really want to create. And if you're not sure, just make it up quickly. There's no wrong answer. And inhale that. Imagine that what you desire is coming in through your breath and filling every bit in your body, every space, every cell. What it is that you desire is filling every cell in your body. And notice how that makes you feel. Yes. And when you're ready, slowly let it go, but keep the creation tucked away inside a special place inside of you, whether that's your heart or your solar plexus or your little pinky toe, it matters not. Yes. And when you're ready, just allow the breath to return to a normal, relaxed breath. Beautiful. And so now, I want you to begin to think about what the creative spirit is to you and what it means to fulfill yourself with your creative spirit. And Cal, are you with us? Hi, Cal. And for those of you who listened to the show last week, Cal was on the show, and I invited him back because we had such an amazing conversation, and I enjoyed it so much and had such great feedback. And Cal Spencer, he is an amazing spiritual philosopher, an intuitive, a shaman healer, and so much more. And so thank you so much, Cal, for being back with me on Goddardy tonight.
Well, thank you again for the invitation.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
It is fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of anything more fun than talking about God and helping people remember God and their God selves and helping them to create even stronger relationships with the divine. That's just, it's so thrilling to me. I feel so blessed to be able to play this part.
I think it's that recognition, the recognizing, you know, because everyone has those moments that they share with the divine.
Yes.
But sometimes they don't recognize it. And when we have this opportunity to share with people our experience, well, I've done that. I know that place.
Yes.
And they don't think they're there, but they're there.
Why do you think that people don't recognize that they're there so often?
I think it's just like a form of conditioning, because we've been taught for so long that, you know, only special people get to have that connected spirit.
Yes.
And everybody has forgotten that we are all special.
Mm-hmm. We certainly are.
Yes, and we all get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so they forgot the path, how to get there, not recognizing that they are on that path.
That you can't help but be on that path.
Yes, there's no wrong
choice. Yeah, absolutely. And it's inevitable that each and every one of us wakes up to the truth of who we are and wakes up to the divine in us. It's inevitable. And we can either reach that place now or in this lifetime at some point or in another lifetime, but it's inevitable. It will happen. And I believe, and I've said this many times on Goddardy, that this time on this planet is the time of awakening. That's the time of enlightenment, that more people at one time will wake up than has ever been in history, I believe. And that's pretty exciting, because that means the whole planet gets to wake up and that we all get to live in this collective consciousness of the divine. And that's pretty damn exciting, right?
Oh, yes. And it is now the time.
Yes.
It's that time.
It is that time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I noticed? I want to share this to you before we move on to tonight's topic. And that is what I was the other day. I was just out in the mall or shopping, and I noticed that there were more happy people than in one place than I've seen in a long time. And I started becoming really aware of that and realizing, wow, there's more happy people around, at least around here in Utah, that is, than I've ever seen in one place. And that made me think, oh, I guess people are really beginning to wake up now.
Yeah, and that's that form of recognizing, you know?
Yes.
When they recognize, that's one of those moments. That's that time. And then all of a sudden they're going to be able to sew all those moments together. It'll be like a giant quilt.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that image.
Yeah,
when everybody makes little patches and then they sew them all together.
Yeah, and we all have that same space. It's all been, you know, there's a space saved for everyone in this quilt.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Thank you. So, Cal, we started talking about this a little before the show, this concept of the creative spirit in all of us, and you said some pretty brilliant things, and I'm wondering if you can recapture that.
Well, I think that when we became creative, that's when we had our true awakening as humans. And I alluded to the fact that it's kind of like that moment that we ate from the tree of knowledge. And at that moment, our creativity just kicked in. And that's when we truly become humans. And that separated us from everything else that had ever been on this world before. Is we had that creativity. And our mind just, like, took off. And look what we've created. And sometimes it's not. We don't see it as a beautiful thing. But it is.
Yes, all of it.
Yes, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has ugly moments. But overall, it's just beautiful.
I remember being in Greece about 4 years ago, and Greece is so beautiful, and there were so many things to take photos of, and I took 3,000 photos while I was there. And I remember one day we were walking through this I guess it was like an alleyway and probably not so great a neighborhood in Athens, and there was graffiti on the wall and some garbage on the ground, and I just stopped, and was beautiful to me. It was so beautiful to me. And I took a picture of it. In fact, I took a few pictures of it. And in that moment, I got it. In that moment that I got that with the right consciousness, with an open mind, that everything is beautiful. It's all beautiful because it's all part of God and all part of the creative spirit.
Oh, yeah. It's like I love to watch the trains go by.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the graffiti, and watch what these young people have painted on the sides of the trains.
Mm.
You know, and it can be seen as graffiti or it can be seen as art. And,
yes.
And it's really, they're letting out that art. You know,
yes.
That creative juices are just flowing in this youth. And,
yes,
and that's
absolutely.
Part of it. Yeah. And we have to be creative. And we all have our own way of being creative. There's not a right or wrong way.
No. I mean, in fact, everything that we do is creative. The way that we speak, the way that we move, the way that we dress. And we have this grand ability to express ourselves any way that we want. And certainly, you know, when we look at different cultures and different traditions, people seem to be locked into a certain way of creating themselves, but they're still creating. They may be going along with what their tradition or their culture says, but they're still creating. And I think that inside of us, we have this desire not to have limits on our creativity. I mean, God doesn't have limits on creativity, obviously. And so I think that a lot of times when people are within these stricter cultures or traditions, that there's a point where the desire to create uniquely and individually outweighs the desire to fit in.
Well,
I think we're seeing more and more of this.
Isn't that what happened in the 60s?
Yes.
That desire to step out of this box that had been created by society was so strong, it couldn't be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened then, is that creativity. I mean, those people this is a new way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, we're living with that today.
We are.
I really feel that's where, you know, this thought to go to solar power and electric cars and a different way of living, you know, those were the seeds planted then.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of creating community and, you know, that we all could share.
Yes.
And that was something they experimented with, and it's still going on today.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I still think that we're at the beginning and infancy stages of that creative spirit.
Yeah. Totally.
So how do you think that people can use their creative spirit for inner fulfillment? What do you personally think that looks like?
Well, first, it starts with that decision. You know, the choice. And to make a choice that, you know, I see this is the way I want to live, or this is a way I want to dress, or this is the way I want to perceive. And then you make that choice. And it's almost like as soon as you make that choice, it just this flower opens up in front of you.
Mm.
And of all these paths that you can take, and all these thoughts you can think, and I mean, it's totally up to you at that moment. And you have ownership of it. And you can basically just paint this picture of how do you want to live? What do you think God would look like?
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and just open yourself up to it, and
mm.
and quit using our minds.
You what know, do you mean?
To paint from your heart, or to picture this from
mm-hmm.
your heart.
Yes.
You know, it's when you listen to a great musician and they step into that place, you actually can watch that moment that it comes from their heart and not their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that ability.
Yes. Yes. And that moment seems to be available to us almost, well, all the time it's available to us, but we need to know how to step into it. And you're right. I love the fact that you say you don't use your mind, you use your heart. And I think this is so challenging for so many people because we've been brought up to use our minds, that our minds are the end all. And in fact, our minds were never ever meant to be our central decision making place of choice. That it's always supposed to be from our hearts. It's always supposed to be from love. And this makes sense, because if God is love, and most people, I think, or especially people that listen to the show, will agree that God is love and love is God, that's the place that all choices should be made from. And the head, you know, the head is just, it's an accessory. You know, the mind, our human mind is an accessory to help us, you know, get from point A to Z and utilize logic for the support of our heart, for the support of the choices that come as a result of love and connection to the divine.
Well, yeah, it's almost like the mind kind of helps pave that way. Once it's been decided through your heart, then that's when you use your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of been programmed to do it backwards, make the decision with our mind, and then it's always muddy. The choice is always clouded when you do it with just your mind. And you always have that what if.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think about it, every choice you made from your heart, there's no more what if. It's, you know, you when you do it with your heart, there's no like, oh, I wished I wouldn't have or should have.
Mm-hmm.
You are knowing that's the path. That's the right choice.
Yes. And when you really get in touch with your heart, with your intuition, what I've discovered is that the mind agrees that there's no more argument. When you really tap into what it is that you truly want, what it is that love is guiding you to, and I'm not talking about love like, you know, when you're crazy in love with somebody and you've got to be with that person, you know, that might be more chemistry or hormones than love, but I'm talking about this feeling that's so deep within your being that you truly know what it is that you want to do in your life. And the interesting thing, Cal, I've noticed, because I've taught workshops for years and you know, so often I will, you know, I'll ask people, you know, what is it that you really want to do? And people are like, well, I don't know. But when I really, you know, really talk with them and ask them the right questions, every single person always knows what they want to do, but their heads talk to them out of it. Oh, I can't do that because I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I don't have enough money, or I live in the wrong place, or, you know, and the excuses go on. But when you remove all the excuses, then suddenly they know. And this is an invitation to our listeners today, that if you could remove all the excuses, if you could have anything you want and it didn't depend on money or relationships or living conditions or anything else, if you could create it right now, what would it be? And from this place, virtually everybody is able to know exactly what it is that they want. And that's the place that the creative spirit is born.
Well, and that's, like I said, that's where we become humans. That's where we really should be living.
Yes.
And it doesn't take a huge commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a small little choice.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that choice is pretty big. You know, we were talking about, you know, cultures and traditions a few minutes ago. And I may have told you about this. I got this email from this young woman who lives in Cairo. And she emails me that for the first time in her life, she's in her 20s, she took her veil off. And this is huge. This is huge. And she was treated very, very badly by her, both her family and strangers. Her mother told her that something bad was going to happen to her, and that she is in danger and her life is in danger. And truly, you know, she experienced fear, obviously. But that knowing inside of herself that she couldn't hide behind the veil anymore, it was so powerful that she had to follow her creative spirit, even if it meant her life. And, you know, that's a pretty tough decision, but it also represents this power of the heart, this power of I must be who I really am, even if I don't even know what that is yet. I must be who I really am, even if my life is in danger, because the way that I'm living now, I have no life and I have no me. And I believe that this is where we're all moving to, that we're all moving to this place of, I must choose me, that I must get in alignment with who I am, and I must take off my own veil, whether that's a literal veil or a figurative veil.
Yeah, that cloudiness.
And the cloudiness, yes.
Step into the clarity.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
And it's fearful.
Yes, oh, yeah. It is.
But once you separate the mind and let the heart decide,
mm-hmm.
that fear just it almost instantly fades away.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to tell you a story. I don't know if you know this, but you might have read it in one of my books. It comes from The Infinite Power of You. And the name of the chapter is My Plaid Polyester Leisure Suit. Do you know the story?
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I was an only child, and my mother was a very protective and, well, strict, shall we say, mom, because she wanted the best for me. And she believed that I should dress a certain way. And she sent me to school in plaid polyester leisure suits. And this is, you know, in the 60s, the 70s, when, you know, everybody else was wearing these cool jeans and really hip clothes. And here I'm going to junior high, which it was actually in the 70s. I'm going to junior high, and I'm wearing these plaid polyester leisure suits. And I should mention, they did not make them in children's or teen sizes. And my mother would buy grown-up sizes and sew them so that they would kind of fit me. I did say kind of fit me. And, of course, the legs would always end up too short when she hemmed them, and I'd have high waters. And the crotch would, you know, hang halfway between, you know, my thigh and my knees. And they were just huge and ugly and terrible colors. And I did not fit in with anybody. And everybody teased me. And I didn't even fit in with the blue-haired teachers, you know. I was off on my own. And you know what? I hated those plaid polyester leisure suits. I hated them with all my heart. And I never said a word because I believed that if I said anything, my mom, you know, would get hurt and offended. And my desire for her love and acceptance was my primary inspiration or my primary motivation, I should say. And it kept getting worse and worse. And every day I'd go to school and I'd get teased. And it was really horrible and bad. And I just would secretly dream of wearing jeans like the other kids. And I didn't say anything to my mom because I was afraid of what her reaction would be. And then finally one day we were in a store. And we were, you know, the times before that we were in the store shopping, my mother would always say, oh, look at those ugly jeans. I'm so glad you don't wear those, which would only, you know, make me think I can never tell her that I want jeans because, you know, she's making a point. Every time I was about to, you know, say I really want jeans, she would say, I'm so glad you don't wear those ugly jeans, if on cue. And finally one day I couldn't stand it anymore, and I was probably about 12 or 13, and we were in a store. And I saw these jeans, and they were so beautiful. They were dark denim, and they had a rainbow that went all the way down one leg. And they were calling me. And finally, I said, Mom, you know, I really want these. And she said, you want those ugly jeans? Just like I thought she would. And then she said, okay. That was it. She said, okay.
Awesome.
I couldn't believe it.
Awesome.
And so I got the jeans, and that rainbow down that leg, that was the rainbow to my freedom, because from that moment on, I knew that I had power to choose and to express myself and ask for what I want and get it, and everything, and my life changed, and my creative spirit bloomed with those rainbow-painted jeans.
That's funny, because in Peru, they have a belief that the connection to spirit is a rainbow bridge. The bridge to spirit is actually a rainbow.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
And so there you were connected to the divine with that rainbow.
Wow.
That is so awesome. But, you know, that story is not at all different from that lady taking off the veil.
Yeah.
Because her society, which was no different than the society your mother created for you, you don't want to hurt. You don't want to break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hurt feelings.
Right.
And right. So that being trapped. And it's truly just in our mind anyway. Mm-hmm. None of
it's
us
all
are
in
bad.
Our mind.
Yeah.
It's all in our mind. And in fact, the our outside world is a reflection of our inside world. And so if we have people, of course I didn't know this as a child, but if there's people out there trying to restrict us or repress us, what that is a symbol of is that somewhere inside of us, we have beliefs about being restricted and repressed, and that the outside world is simply showing us as a mirror what's really going on inside of us. And as we change and shift things in the outside world and suddenly stand up for ourselves and suddenly make powerful choices for ourselves, whatever that might mean, then the outside world, even though it might resist at first because we believe that it will, ultimately it starts to shift and change because our inside world is changing. And so the way to change our lives is to really take responsibility for everything that happens in our lives and make choices that put our lives more in alignment with who we really are deep inside, even if we're not sure who that is yet, to at least move in that direction and in alignment with what we really want. And this is the power that we hold as creators. You know, I love this topic because we are constantly creating. Like, if you want to know what you're creating, just look around you. That's what you're creating. And if you like it, great. Keep doing exactly what you're doing. But if something's not right, then use your life as feedback and make different choices inside of yourself so that your life shows up different.
And create something else.
And create something else, exactly.
See, that's the key, though, is to be aware that you are creating this.
Mm-hmm.
And then to take ownership for what you have created, whether it's what you wanted or not. But you
yes.
created it. It's all yours.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
But
and
you can create whatever you want. We've imprisoned our minds.
Yes, we have. And I love it that you say that we have imprisoned our minds, and it's individual, that each of us has imprisoned our minds.
Well, think of your story you just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You imprisoned your mind because you imprisoned your mind to please your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And all your mother was trying to do was please you.
I know. Yes.
But because you get trapped in that little circle, and as soon as you made that choice, I choose these pants.
Mm-hmm.
Everything shifted.
Yes.
And but as soon as making that choice, you empowered yourself. You accepted responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's what we need to do. As humans, make that choice and accept responsibility and create anything you want.
Mm.
To live in that moment of creation, every moment. But we
yes.
always keep pushing that blame to somebody else without taking responsibility, even though we still created it.
Because it's easier. It's easier to push it onto someone else because then we don't have to be responsible. Then we don't have to own our power. Well, at least it seems easier, but you and I both know that in the long run, it's painful and it's not easy. That truly the easiest thing to do is to take your power back, to make choices that support you, and to take responsibility for those choices.
The funny thing that happens when you do that is the drama disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Your drama just almost melts away because it can't vibrate at that high frequency.
Mm.
It just melts away. It's like there's nothing for it to stick to. Like, and that's one of the biggest gifts.
Yes, I've never thought about it like that before, but that's absolutely true. Because when we do make choices, we raise our vibration, we raise the vibration of everything around us, and the drama, which was at a lower vibration or a different vibration, can't exist.
No. But at that lower vibration, it's in full force. You're feeding it. It's, you know, all it can eat.
Right.
And it loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly the drama that keeps us in that lower space. And it loves to have you there. And it's like listening to your friend's story. You know, you want to mm-hmm. hear the divorce or the thing that happened at work, and you give ownership to all of her story. And then all of a sudden, you're sucked into her story or his story.
Yes.
And as soon as you quit being an audience for that, the story goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you can create your space.
Yes. Because when we listen to someone else's story, we buy into the story, what we're really doing is helping to create that story.
Mm-hmm. At the lower level.
At the lower level, yeah. So we're really not doing anybody a favor, and no one's doing us a favor when they sit and they listen to our story. You know, certainly it's good to talk about things and change them, but many people get on this repetitive cycle. It's the same story over and over again, and they're just cycling in the same spin cycle by telling the same story, by feeding into the same story. And there comes a point where, you know, you're just done with the story and you're ready for a new story, because it's all a story. Everything's a story. So what story do you choose? And that's part of that creative spirit. What story do you choose?
Well, and when you get stuck in the old story, your new creativity kind of really gets clouded.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose that vitality for life. It just kind of, you don't have it. And as soon as you can step above that story, it just, it's almost like everything opened up to you. All these new tools and this new light and this totally opens to you. And it's truly, it's the divine that's opening to you.
Yes.
It's been waiting for you and waiting.
Yes.
You know, let's make this something new. It's like this light turns on. This beam of light from above you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just glows and everywhere you look. And the more you open to that, the brighter this light glows.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because most people don't even realize that every day they wake up and what they're waking up to is the story that they had from yesterday and the day before. And that's why things are still as they are, whether they're great or not so great. And that when we get to this place where we recognize that our lives are based on the stories that we hold in our conscious and unconscious, subconscious minds, then suddenly we get to change the story. And one of the most powerful tools that I practice is when I wake up in the morning, I release the story. Like whatever the story is that I would have had for that day, I just release it and I give it to God. And I just, you know, here's the story today, God, and show me what's possible. And from that place, suddenly there's a whole bunch of room for creative spirit to shine through me. And I think that's what you're talking about as well.
It is. That moment. And when you do that, you view it the first times as being vulnerable, and that,
yes,
you know, something bad could happen to you, or I'm not in control anymore. But it's just the opposite, you know, and you're not trapped anymore. You're not bound. And then it's that creativity just takes off from there.
Mm.
And you can make every day new.
That's an interesting concept to most people, to make every day new.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is when you release that story to God, you're not trapping somebody else.
Mhm.
You know, with your story.
Mm.
And so you're not creating all this lower energy. You're instantly creating this high vibration.
Mhm.
And you glow.
Mhm. Yes. You know, I you made me become aware of something that I was never aware of, and that was in my plaid leisure suit days that you know, I always saw it as my mother trapping me with her story, and suddenly I see that I also trapped my mother with my story.
Yeah.
And that when I had the courage to free my spirit and tell her what I wanted in some way that was not obvious to me until just a minute ago, that I freed her as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And she all of a sudden no longer had to feel responsible for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you download your story to other people. You make them responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not free, and neither are they.
Right. And then there's no room for that creative spirit.
Oh, no.
That it's that it's like, you know, it's like when we were doing the meditation at the beginning, it's like, so if your body is like so full, there's no room for any more breath. And so if you've got this story intact or this drama or whatever intact, that there's no room for creative spirit to move through you and out into your life. And that only by, you know, emptying out can you bring in an intentional breath or intentional creativity that can be magnified and utilized in your life to create what you want.
And so when you ask about how other people can benefit or how they can step into that place, mm-hmm. I view it as like, you know, maybe taking scissors and cutting those connections around mm-hmm. your body to those elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut it loose. You know, that, and that's a good place to start.
Right. Right. And I think another really great place to start is from this place of truth. When I coach people, this is one of the first things that I do when I first start working with somebody, is just help them get in touch with their truth. Like, what's really true for you? What is it that you just hate doing, you don't want to do? What's true about your relationship? What's true about your family? What's true about your home, your finances, your life's path? What's true? Because before a person understands their own truth, which most people don't until they're really questioned or crisis comes up in their life and they have to look at it. Most people don't know what their truth is. They just go along. But once you really sit down and start saying, okay, and what is my truth? Then everything can begin to shift and change. And that's scary for a lot of people because they don't want to admit the truth, because then change needs to be met. You know, it's like if somebody says, I am miserable at my job or miserable in my marriage and I don't want to be in it anymore, then something needs to happen. You know, once, before you actually say the truth, you can keep going on. But once that truth is said, things do happen. And I actually just remembered, on my website, I have a worksheet, and it's I think it's called Telling the Truth Worksheet. So if anybody would like to start this process, I totally recommend it. And if you go to my website at nanice.com, that's nanice.com, go to Articles, Shows, and More in the top link bar, and then scroll all the way to the bottom. It's a long page down because I have tons of articles and a whole bunch of stuff there for your download. All the way to the bottom, it should say the Truth Worksheet, and you can download it instantly. And it's about, I think, about 5 or 10 questions that will help you get in touch with your truth. And from that place, make changes and as a result, allow your creative spirit to come out even more. It's a powerful tool.
They do that. Yeah. You really can't step backwards.
No.
You know, once you become aware, because once you see that truth, then what happens is you take responsibility for it.
It can't be any other way.
Yeah.
It can't be any other way. You know, as long as you're ignoring it, then what you're doing is you're giving your power to create away. You're actually telling God, you know what, no one's home here, just leave me alone, I want to do my own thing. And of course, you know, God says fine, until one day it's not fine anymore. And this is when people experience these crises in their lives where suddenly things change without their willingness. Because really, you know, that this divine source wants to use us to create, because we really are this creative spirit. This is who we are, pretending to be human. So it's like, the way that I see it is that, you know, that here's this creative spirit and it needs like a vessel, kind of like we need a car to get to, you know, the store. So it needs a vessel in order to create on the physical plane. And so it gets a body, and what a gift the body is. And from this perspective, boy, you know, it sure makes me appreciate my body and love my body and cherish my body. I think that this is one of the things that's missing from so many lives, that they just don't understand what a gift and what a blessing the body is, and that this is truly part of the creation process, that this is how the creative spirit works in many ways through this lifetime, and that everything we do is creative. Everything. That I pick up a glass of water, I'm being creative. You know, I talk on the phone or the show, I'm being creative. Everything is creative, and there's that element of creativity, and then of course there's this element of just in your mind that is directly speaking to your heart, and in your heart there's this communication that says, this is what I desire. And we create simply by first imagining what it is that we want. And lo and behold, the magic and the miracles begin to happen all around us from a clear mind, from a clear being.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
But when you bring that up, the other key element to that is when you recognize that body.
Mm-hmm.
One of the steps is to see and be grateful, that gratitude. We have to be grateful for that body. Grateful for waking up.
Yes. Every morning, every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so grateful I'm breathing today.
Oh, wow, that's a good invitation for everybody right now. Just take a breath. All of them, be grateful for that breath. Because imagine if you didn't have it. Imagine not having the breath. Yeah.
And when when you look around and you can be grateful for everything you see,
mm-hmm.
you all of a sudden quit looking and wishing to have what everybody else has.
Mm.
I'm grateful I have a bike to ride or a car to drive to get to work or food on your table. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see that gratitude, and that's part of the divine. You have to be grateful to God for these things.
Yes.
Not grateful to your spouse or significant other or your job or your flag or your country. It's grateful to God.
Grateful to God.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Cal, thank you so much for sharing this time with me on Goddardy. I love your insight and your brilliance, and I'm sure so many people have benefited. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And I'm sure you'll be back on soon. I love sharing this time with you. Thank you.
Oh, it's that time with God.
Yeah.
That recognizing this. We truly are creatures of God. We are gods and goddesses in our own right.
We are. Yeah. I love that as a little subtitle, Goddardy, Your Time with God.
Yes.
That's
Someone
awesome.
Asked me, I have to share this with you. Someone asked me today, but how can you go on that show? I mean, she said, I'm not an expert on anything, and so I don't think I could go on the show. And I explained to him, it's not being an expert, it's the knowing your connectedness to God.
Right.
And you are an expert at that in your own right. We all
exactly.
have that connection. And really
That's
what it is, the willingness to share that.
To be open and to share that, yes.
Share it.
Exactly.
And as soon as I said that, she knew what I was talking about.
Wow, and that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. Oh.
And everyone has that connection to spirit. Mm-hmm. They just have to recognize it.
Yes. And so this is my invitation for our listeners. If you feel inspired to come on Goddardy and share your experience with God and talk about your relationship with God and how you communicate with God, please email me. Go to my website at nanice.com, and that's nanice.com. Click on the email link, and while you're there, make sure that you download some of the great articles, this shows for Goddardy and Chai with Nanice on LA Talk Radio, a free book download, I Am, which you will absolutely love, talk about raising one's vibration, and free song downloads, and so much more. While you're there, take the pledge. It will change your life and help you change the world. So thank you. And Cal, so the end of our time together tonight, and I just want you to know how much I love you, and I'm sure you know that.
Oh, I love you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you, everybody, for spending tonight with us. And, again, please come to my website, nanice.com, and let me know who you are, what you'd like to hear on Goddardy, and if you'd like to be a guest on Goddardy, I want to hear from you. And until next time, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and I love you, and have a great week. Bye for now.
open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Been to the mountains, I slept in the streets, searched every great mind, but no one did I meet. I searched every house in the eyes of those who knew, but only to realize there weren't even a few. Endlessly I searched through all this facade, but all I ever found was just a second-hand God. I was looking for God in all the wrong ways. I thought I found him once or twice, but he never stayed. Star-eyed baby of mine, open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cry out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Something to tell you that you want to hear. I thought it Mother Mary, an angel, a guide. I said, show yourself to me, now I continue to hide. He said, the answer you've been seeking is not outside. The way to get to paradise is right inside. There's no place to hide and no one else you could be. Why couldn't I see? You've always answered my cry. Now who am I? Why did it take me so long to buy? A second-hand God was all I could find. Until I stopped and turned the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see it could only have been me. I choose my destiny. Star-eyed baby of mine, you've opened your mind, you've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard, now you believe. It's not hard, now you